Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. We hope you're doing well. Sorry we are coming in a day late this week, but we've had crazy travels. I was in an island, Paul was in a winter hellscape, and now we're able to join up on this beautiful pre-opening day, Wednesday, March 27th, 2019. How are you, Paul?
I'm good. I'm the exact opposite of you. It's sunny here, but it's freezing in Ottawa, the capital of Canada. So it's sunny, but it's 30 degrees, and I think you're the exact opposite, where it is warm, but you don't think it's sunny enough. That's why people hate LA.
Yeah, that's very true. But we have a lot to talk about today. We've had a lot of crazy travels. I kissed a stingray on the lips. And we've got baseball starting up. There's lots of things to get into. Today, we were lucky enough to have a sponsor for today's show. Our good friends at BlueChew.com. Blue Chew, for when Paul is alone in Canada, things are getting lonely, and he runs into a lady at the bar there. She's got a giant mug of beer, and she's all there in her flannels, just stroking her long beard at the bar. And Paul doesn't...
jug of molasses.
Yeah. And Paul wants to perform, and he knows he's going to be compared to all of these other people up there in the tundra. So whether he needs it or not, if he wants just to enhance the experience a little more, he pops a little Blue Chew into his mouth and chews away on the same formulas as Viagra and Cialis, and all you have to do is chew it and you're good to go. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visit, no waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. So how, Paul, you could fail in your performance there in Canada, there's no excuse for it anymore.
Yeah, the only thing, just don't, like, chew it really fast. It'll work regardless. So don't, like... Just
yeah.
Casual chew, like, you know, like you've been somewhere.
You know? Just like, hey,
don't do that manic chewing.
Yeah, you don't have to go squirrel crazy. Just do like a cool Burt Reynolds chew.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Imagine Burt Reynolds. That's probably what he was doing all these years.
Right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code PAPA, P-A-P-A, just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's Blue Chew, B-L-U-E, chew.com, promo code PAPA to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring our podcast this week. I ran down to the Cayman Islands for a show, for a corporate show, and then my kids and wife, who are on spring break, got on a plane and followed me there, and I extended my gig. Normally, I would fly in, do the show, next day, fly out, but now the family came in, and we actually had a mini spring break vacation in the Grand Cayman. It's beautiful island where it was just 80 and sunny and crystal blue waters. It was like all the photos we took, it looked like we were in a pool.
Nice. Yeah, those are great. It's yeah. like you're on a cruise.
Yeah, you're on this
cruises you hate so much.
Oh man, I gotta tell you though.
Went right down to it though. You went to, well, first of all, you can't say I ran down the Caymans. It was a big trip. If you're just one of those guys that says I jetted down to the Caymans, everyone's gonna think you're a drug mule or something.
Well, who's to say?
Human mule. Special, by the way.
We all have our own descriptions of what we do. It's coming from the West Coast. It's a bit of a thing, you know. You got to connect a flight, and you got to get down there, and it's a bit of a haul. But going is pretty tame. Coming home is a bit of a bear because you've got to connect, and you're going through customs, which always makes me nervous. I don't enjoy the having the, all right, so we're coming home last night. You land at 8 o'clock and you've got a board at 9 o'clock for your connecting flight back into back home. So, you know, you check, you get there, and then you just start that marathon of scrutiny and stress and passports and mean-looking guards. And if one thing goes wrong, you're going to miss your flight. It was an hour in between, and we literally, like, ran up to the gate by the end of the whole process. It makes you think, why would you go anywhere but the United States of America? I mean, if you had a direct flight, that's one thing. You fly in, you just deal with it, and then if you're late, you know, if it's a big thing at the customs, whatever. But if you have a clock on you, you've just had this couple days of like floating around and drinking out of pineapples, and now you're not even home yet, and you're stressed out and sweaty and running around like crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the airport. I think that's what is stressing me out, too. Because remember, when I was leaving, you know, all the people in Dickinson wanted you to stay an extra day after the show in North Dakota.
Mm.
But only if Tom goes to the Cayman Islands does it actually happen.
Well, no. I think what you have to, it's not the destination. I did a show there a couple of months ago and flew right out. It depends who you are with. When I am solo, it's just the way that it goes. I zig and I zag and I'm in and I'm out. When you have kids and your wife and everybody wants to have a little dose of spring break, I'm hanging out. I'm not choosing to sit on the beach. I've got stuff to do. But if my family came to Fargo and were like, we want to stay an extra 3 days, I would have stayed in Fargo.
So, well, the big question is, of all of these unlicensed and ridiculous activities that you make fun of on stage now, which did you partake in the islands in this spring break, which sounds like it was just like a lot of more work for you?
My wife loves activities.
Uh-huh.
She gets to a hotel and she sees a brochure. Hey, Bella. 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 Oh, my God.
She heard activities.
Bella, by the way, when we go away, Bella goes to a farm and runs around with like 10 other dogs. And she comes back and thinks she's a wolf. Bella, you're still a suburban ding-dong. Get over here.
Well, farm is like code for get rid of it.
Yeah, no, this is a farm where they actually don't kill the dogs. This is a legit farm, and then they come home again. But Bella comes back. She's skinny, and she has an attitude like, I don't know what you guys think I do. I know you think I'm the dog that just sits on the bed and sleeps all day, but I am a wolf.
Yeah, by the way, not to sidetrack you, I just found out a friend that we know that we've worked with is a, you know, he's a dog person, one of those people that fosters dogs. I found out today, how many dogs do you think one person should own?
Or one. Even have? Two at the most.
One. Two is a ton. Two, you see somebody walking two. Higher. Guess higher.
Is this Gary you talking about?
Yes. Guess how many dogs he has.
Five.
Double it.
Ten?
He's got 10 dogs.
I almost threw up. 10 dogs?
Isn't that crazy?
This is what happens when you start. This is what happens. You are a person that wants to save animals, and you do it. And I guess the reward is so great, and you feel like you're such a good person that you do it again, and it becomes an addiction. He has an addiction. He started out just like helping out a couple of animals, and now he can't stop.
That's what he said. Six of them, only six of them are ours. That's what he says.
And what are the other four?
They're the foster ones that, until they get home, they got to take care of them because they would get killed at the shelter.
Just think about how much dog food he's pouring out every day.
Exactly.
And guess that's expensive.
Where he is this week? He's on a cruise.
Oh, my God.
So his wife's taking care of 10 dogs.
Oh, my God. Does he live on a farm?
Well, he had this beautiful place in Santa Monica where he could see the beach, and he moved up to Encino where he could have a big backyard and stuff. But still, man, when you imagine, I mean, how much you had like 3 dog trainers with Bella just so people could get in your door.
Imagine
if you had 10 dogs run into the door every time somebody walked by.
Oh, my Lord. That is ridiculous. That is ridiculous. But that's the thing with you. I understand the mission, but you can't save all the dogs. It's just, you just can't. There's more being born every second. They're all over the place. I don't know. I mean, but maybe this is like the second career that he wants.
Well, that's the thing is, like, you know, my whole thing is I love dogs. I had an amazing dog. We all love Bella. But I also don't want to make dogs more important than people. So it feels like a lot of these people would, like, step over a homeless person to rescue a dog or something, you know?
Right.
I don't want to, like, equate them. But, yeah, I think all these shelters, you know, they basically are like, we're going to kill this dog unless you foster it. And then imagine the guilt on your hands of, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You might be right. Maybe it is like a mission of stuff or some type of like hoarding thing of pets. I don't know. I mean, I know cat people that have. What's the most amount of cats you know somebody that has like the highest number?
3.
Really? You don't have any crazy cat lady friends or anything like that that has, like...
No, I think if I didn't live in this house, it would be filled with 20 cats.
Because you had 3 at one point, right?
No, never. Not all at once.
Okay.
The most we've had is 2. But if I didn't exist, my wife would replace me with about 55 cats. Easily.
So just before, I remember you're almost getting to the point where maybe Bella would be better off with a friend. Just so you know, that's how it starts.
Yeah, I know exactly. I had a dream the other night that I did that, and in my dream I was thinking, well, my wife is going to be horrified. She's going to be so mad that I'm bringing home this dog for Bella, and then I at breakfast brought this up and she seemed to be saying, no, I wouldn't. So I think and the kids have kind of been mentioning it. The kids mention they want another dog, but it's not really for Bella. It's for themselves because they're bored with Bella. Bella's now like an old girlfriend. It's like, yeah, she was exciting for a while, but what else is out there? And the kids in there, they're very cold that way. I mean, they love Bella, of course, but they definitely want the next new thing for sure.
Yeah, it's like the swimsuit, the cover of the swimsuit issue.
Yeah.
That's what Bella is. And then they forget about you, and you don't really get to be on the cover again until there's like a 20-year anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, back to...
That was the... So just the one dog, I remember, was a lot of... That's a lot of work to get Bella where she is right now. And imagine times 10.
Yeah, no. Would never happen. Gary is insane.
So back to the islands. I want to know what new activity will Tom be making fun of on stage now?
Well, like I said, my wife loves an activity. I don't need an activity. My life is an activity. When I get to a place like a resort and they have a pool and a chair and a waitress, that's all I need. I'm done. I could just sit there. I could read. I could write.
Right.
And I just pass the time, get hot, take a dip, come back out. That's all I have to do. Like a lizard on a rock. I don't need to move. My wife gets to a place and immediately the card in the hotel room that I use as a coaster that says activities, my wife immediately grabs it and starts talking to the concierge and starts planning out all the activities we can can do. A tandem bike? Sure. a paddle boat? Let's do it. I mean, anything. She loves it. And I get it. I kind of feel guilty. I feel the same way I feel at a wedding when I don't feel like dancing. You right. See everybody out there dancing and you feel like, oh, what's wrong with me? Am I lame? Why aren't I a dancer? And you have that guilt. But ultimately, no, I'm not lame. I just, I'm not a great dancer and I'm not doing it. And that's the way I am with these activities. I don't need to participate. But when I do participate and she makes me participate, I always feel better. I feel like we did something. We've enjoyed ourselves. I didn't get as much rest as maybe I would have liked, but it always feels kind of okay. So anyway, they're at the resort, and the big activity that everybody says that you have to do is you have to go to Stingray City, which is you get on a boat and you go out in the middle of the ocean or the bay. And it's shallow, kind of shallow, like up to my shoulders. And you jump off the boat, and there's this area where all the stingrays have been fed for years, and they just kind of congregate there. And you get to swim with the stingrays. And
let me just say this, Tom, no. I've turned this down several times.
You've been offered this?
Absolutely, yeah. They want you to touch the stingrays, and I don't think the stingrays want you to touch them.
Well, I have to say, I think you're wrong. I think that some of them don't want to be touched, but the other ones, they kind of... I don't know if we put it on them, but they seem to have a bit of a personality.
Yeah?
Yeah. You're sitting in there, you jump in the water, and this big stingray like comes up to you. And sure, I'm sure they're looking for food. I'm sure they're not just coming up because they like your face. Mm-hmm. But they come up, and you put your arms out, and you kind of like hold their fins, and its little face is looking up at you. And you just kind of relax, and it kind of like nuzzles up against you and just floats there with you. And it was pretty cool. I've got to say it was something, I was surprised how cool it was. And then, you know, you don't want to die, which is always a possibility with any activity. Very few people die on a lounge chair. But if you sign up for any of the activities, that's when all the bad stuff happens. But apparently, these stingrays aren't the same as the one that killed the... what's his name guy?
The crocodile hunter.
Yeah. That guy was killed by a different kind of stingray that their tail just is a weapon. And this one, it's kind of like tucked under. It's still, you know.
It's like the drag queen of stingrays.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So I'm bobbing around in the water. I'm going to stingrays, and then they take you off to this. And we had this boat by ourselves, which was very cool, because there was this giant catamaran thing filled with 200 people, and they all jump in, and there's nothing more awkward than seeing 200 human beings flopping around in the water.
Right.
Not supposed to be there. Definitely not supposed to be there. So we ventured off, and then we got our snorkels, and we started snorkeling around this beautiful reef and stuff. We've tried to snorkel a whole bunch of times in a bunch of places, and you're always kind of talking yourself into it that it's good, but it's always not really, you know, it's like murky or it's just not that colorful. This was legit stuff, like with amazing eels and...
Yeah, but you're like surface snorkeling, right? You're not like dropping down with a tank and everything.
My big power move is no tank, snorkel, but then you hold your breath and you can dive down about 10 feet and go around the bottom and then come back up for air like a whale.
I feel like you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, you could get bit in the face by an eel. Or you can rub against coral that... is poisonous, and then you end up with like a rash. There's a lot of things that can go wrong. And look, I have not been a boat fan in recent years. All of a sudden, as we talked about with my ear issue when I'm flying, there's some funkiness in my ear, and my equilibrium isn't... I think that's what causes this kind of trouble when I fly, and it causes... I think it's probably from flying all these years. But it's made me a little seasick when I get out on the boat, so I'm not a fan of boats. So I decided for the first time to take a Dramamine, which I always equate as a lady, as a mom pill that you take when you go on boats, because my mother always used to take it. And who knows, maybe she has the same inner ear thing that I have. So I took that, and it was pretty rocky when we were heading out there. And for a second, I got that little hint of, oh, I'm going to be nauseous. And there's nothing worse than that nauseous sea feeling. But I have to say, the Dramamine, I think, really kind of kicked in and did the trick and didn't make me sleepy, didn't make me, like, druggy. It just got me through without being throwing up off the side
of
the boat.
I thought that's the only thing it did is, like, knock you out so you could sleep on, like, a flight or something. Like, if you needed to sleep. I didn't think it was, like, for actual, like, activity.
Yeah, no, it's for motion sickness. It's just to stop that nausea, which that was all I needed to read. So I downed it and did it, and it was pretty good. I was on this boat, like, flopping around. Then we went to, like, some starfish point, and you hold starfish, and they curl up on you, and you're just floating around out there, and it was pretty good. Then we had a jet ski excursion like 2 days after that. It was going to be like a jet ski safari kind of a thing. And my daughter got a sore throat, and we bailed on that. We canceled that one, which I was pretty, and that was going to be like the last second right before we flew out. We were going to jump on jet skis and go snorkel some more. And I'm never great with the... we have to fit one more activity in before the airport. If it's airport day and we're flying back, maybe we'll eat in a restaurant, but that's it. I don't want to be drying out a bathing suit on my way to the airport.
Yeah, that's a... well, jet ski thing is probably my favorite thing of those things, because if it's like an island, they'll do like a guided, like you're just following in one line. Those are kind of fun. I don't like just like tooling around on a jet ski for an hour. But if you're like going to see places, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be. I'm sure it would be. But I just, you know, when it's travel day, I just want to sit around and worry about getting through security. Which, by the way, we had a major pain in the ass leaving Cayman. We get there. We're early for our flight. It's like a Tuesday at 5 o'clock. So there's not that. There's nobody there. We go up. We're not checking bags. We've all got carry on. Everyone's late. Everyone's airy. We're the only people going through security. They pull my daughter out at 13. Special security. She's got like five S's across her boarding pass. Jeez. They took her aside. They took my bag. They took my wife's bag. They took my other daughter was the only one that skated through. They pat down my 13-year-old. Then they open up her whole suitcase and take every single item out of her suitcase and every single item out of her backpack and go through everything and take all of her things. You know, here it's like 4 ounces of you can fly with. There it's 3.4. So they took all of her stuff and threw it away. She's crying. She's, you know, she's nervous already to go through all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And now she's got these people just like going. I mean, she did such a good job of packing. She was so conscientious and everything was like in its place and she did a great job. She's like, you know, becoming a good traveler. They just took everything out. Underwear, face cream, everything. Right. Put it in a bin and then she has to repack it. Then they tell her to pack it all back up. So now she's crying. She's watching all of her face products and whatever get thrown into the garbage. Then they take my bag. I've got like a whole bunch of Cuban cigars in there. They don't even look at those. But they take my toothpaste and they throw that away. They take my wife's stuff. They take all her shit, put that in a thing. Right. We're the only people going through security. Yeah, and they just
it's their quota. They're just trying to get their you know, if they pull people out, then they say that they did it. And
I know, but God,
fully staffed. Or something. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Every time I see them patting down like an old lady in a wheelchair, I'm like, the terrorists have won. Yeah. We didn't want to do that.
Yeah, it was just ridiculous, and it was a funny moment when my daughter's upset. And we're packing up all of our stuff, and I'm telling her, then don't worry, and we're going to go back. When we get home, we'll go buy all the stuff that they stole from you. And she's kind of still unhappy. But as soon as I got mad at them, as soon as I got angry with the security people and said to my daughter, because I could see she wasn't snapping out of it, and I said, they took my toothpaste too. I said, F these people. She lit up like a Christmas tree. She was like, yes, my father's on my side. He's saying F these people and screw these a-holes. And I just let him have it. And my daughter was like, oh, it's kind of that thing where if some guy's acting like an ass, my wife at least wants to think that I'll punch the guy in the face for her.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just take. Sometimes you just like if your spouse or your friend even is telling you a story about some injustice out in the world, and it could be anything. It could be a loudmouth at a bar. It could be someone that took your parking spot. It could be someone that cut you in line at the supermarket. When you're at home and you're telling this story to your friend or loved one, you don't want your loved one to take their side. They're not in the story. They haven't seen what's gone down. And I do it to myself with myself too. Like my wife will say, and then this lady just cut me off and took my parking spot. Well, maybe she didn't see. Maybe she did. That is not going to satisfy your friend. What you have to do.
You
got to
stick up for her.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know.
Yeah. Look, it's a pretend scenario for you anyway. You're not there. Why are you taking the stranger's position? Why are you making excuses for this person? They definitely want to hear, F them. I would have kicked their ass. Where are they? Should we go out now and get them? Because then you feel like you have an ally in this world. You feel like, all right, well, at least this person thinks I'm right. At least this person thinks I care. Oh, so as soon as I turned on them, then my daughter was kind of okay. But now today we've got to go run around to like five different stores and probably spend $200 in kids' face creams.
Oh man. Well, I mean, I guess there's, you know, it's better to happen on the way there or the way back than the way there, you know. But that's still weird. So that was like the Cayman Islands one, because don't
Grand Cayman. They're British. They're a British territory, and they're nice. It's where people go and hide all their money. It's very clean. It's a beautiful, beautiful island. It's you know, we were only there for like four or five nights, and it seemed like it went really quickly. But it's like, how long can you stay in a place like that? You know, I mean, it's a long way to go, and you know, just be there for, you know, four or five nights. But how many days can you just get up and look at the same menu at the lounge chair? And you know, how many activities are you supposed to do? I don't know. If you're like staying in a house, maybe I could see like sticking around. But when you're in a hotel, hotels are not built for you to be there very long.
It's under
a week. If you're there more than a week, the staff starts looking at you like you're weird.
Yeah, like something happened at home. What are you doing here? When you start like having to do laundry and do like weekly errands, then they're like, or shop, you know, go
right
to the grocery store. It's like
they're like, okay, beat it. And the illusion wears off for you too. When you come into a hotel, everything is set up there to fool you. It's like, oh, this is a beautiful bathroom, and this is gorgeous entranceway. When you're there for a little bit, you start to notice it. Everything, you're like, this isn't so special,
right? Yeah, I mean, we, you know, I did, I'm doing Kingston, Ontario, and Ottawa, Canada. So those are the two clubs that I'm doing. And these clubs, I'm doing it, my buddy Steve Maison is the MCing. And, you know, in Canada, the MC is, like, you know, kind of treated almost as well as the headliner, you know, because they have, like, a host thing. So the feature act is, like, the kind of the up-and-comer.
Right.
So they still have, like, condos here. But this condo, we're in Kingston, which is a place that's not, you know, like, we basically just went to the mall every day to walk around because it was so cold. And
you're on Lake Ontario.
Yeah. And, but they have this house that, you know, it's like a 3-bedroom full house, you know, with laundry, you know, so you do feel like a little bit, I mean, most of the comedy condos, you know, you feel like they're dirty or something like, but these are, were nice. And they had this back room that used to be an indoor pool that you just paved over. And there's like ping pong and you know, shuffleboard, all this kind of stuff. And we bought like a hockey goal at the Walmart and played hockey in there. So it was kind of fun to have some space, you know, and then it felt more of like homey, like a house.
Right.
As long as it's not dirty, though. That's the problem that you run into with Airbnb and that kind of stuff. It's like,
but you're all sharing the same. You're all sharing the same space.
It was just me and Steve. So
okay.
So yeah, even this week we're at this kind of high-rise condo. You know, because Ottawa is the capital of Canada, so it's kind of a more of a city.
Right.
But yeah, you're just.
How's the club?
It's great. That's the only reason I'm doing it. This is the only club that I know of, like outside of LA or New York, that's open 7 days a week. It's pretty crazy.
Great. And they get crowds?
It's basically sold out. I mean, they've added second shows on Thursdays. It's it's crazy. I recorded a one album here, but yeah, like guys come up here from New York to record albums. It's a cool, like, it's an old Italian restaurant with like a low ceiling, and the laughs keeps the laughs great. So yeah, they do a great job. It's like a you know, people, it's like the 80s of what they tell me is people come to this club like two or three times a month just in town. They don't make it like overly expensive. So it's not like, you know, in the States, it's like maybe if somebody goes to a comedy club every 4 or 5 months, they're kind of like a huge comedy fan, you know.
Oh, nice.
But these people just, you know, there's a bunch of colleges, and so it's like a thing people do pretty regularly. You just go to the comedy club and then go for a drink or whatever.
That's pretty great.
But we're in Little Italy, so for Tom, I'm going to film this guy today because my favorite place outside of Domingo's, is that the place in Encino that you told me about?
Domingo's,
yeah. This place is called Dirienzo's.
And you can
walk in there and ask for a sandwich, and the guy will turn around on the counter and within 10 seconds come up with whatever meat you asked for in an Italian roll and wrapped up in cellophane. He makes it. He's an old Italian guy, and you make a sandwich in like 30 seconds. And it's this great like Italian roll bread. It's really big. So I was going to send it a picture to you just to see what kind of bread it was, because it's bigger than Italian bread usually is. It's a big, giant roll. So
oh,
I don't know
nice.
How he makes it.
Wow, that sounds good.
Yeah, I'm
heading up to Boise, Idaho. I've got Boise and Bozeman, Montana this weekend.
Right, the potatoes. Well, that guy made bread too, right? Didn't we go to or was that like Idaho Falls? We went to that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is...
milled his own flour or something.
Oh, right. That's right. That was a good one. Yeah, that guy had a good bakery. Yeah, I'm sure Boise's going to have some good stuff. And I've been to Bozeman, too. That one doesn't seem as bready as Boise. Boise seems like there'll be a little more preciousness to parts of it. But you'll be missed on those two shows.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This just, you know, even next week I'm doing Montreal, which is only about an hour from here, but I just have to get home. So I'm going to be home for a couple days next week. But
sweet.
Yeah, this is a long run.
I know. When I got home today, I was thinking, I'm away so much that like my vacation is when I'm coming home. Like I come into this place and I'm like, oh God, this is a nice place. I should stay here more often. This would be great for 4 or 5 days in a row.
You could Airbnb just your office, right? While you're gone, just to start making up for some of the lost time.
Yeah, just have some weird dude working in my office while my family's running around.
Some guy selling gold bonds to people on the phone.
I can't believe tomorrow is baseball season. Opening day, Yankee Stadium. We won't be there because we're on the move, but it looks like it's going to be 52 and sunny, which is a glorious opening day forecast.
Really?
Yes.
That's amazing. Well, I got my fill. I went to two games with my buddy Ari, and then I went to a game. I don't know if I talked to you since I went to that game with my parents, too.
Right.
Like on a Tuesday. That was like a day game. That was fun, too.
Yeah, you told me about that.
Yankees look good. There's a few injuries, but most of the big stars in the starting lineup, at least, seem solid.
So. Yeah, I think they're going to have a great year. And even if they had a horrible year, I'm just so excited that soon there'll be warm weather and we'll have hot dogs in both hands and just be sitting in the sunshine. I can't wait for it. And I know... L.A., you don't want to hear people complain, but it's overcast right now. It's a little drizzly. It's been raining here since December. We're like Seattle this year. And, you know, look, everybody needs winter because we need to complain a little bit so the spring becomes that much sweeter. And while our suffering isn't St. Paul suffering, it's still not great. So everybody's got their stuff they got to deal with. And the salvation for me is when I know that baseball is starting and that tomorrow at noon The Yankees will be taking the field for yet another season. Oh, I am beyond excited. The only bummer is that I wasn't able to work it out where I could buzz back and catch the game. So I'm probably not going to get there for like a month. I guess when we do the live Come to Papa the end of the month, I guess the end of April, actually, that's when I'll have to take it in.
Yeah, what day is that? Because I might be around that week, but yeah, it's more symbolic than anything else, though, right? The opening.
Yeah,
day.
At this point, it's still March Madness. There's still a lot of craziness going on. Even my buddies who love the Yankees, when I let them know that I couldn't make it for opening day, they're like, "We're not even thinking about that. Everyone's got their team still alive in March Madness." But for me, all of that means nothing. It's purely about baseball.
Did you get any team pools in there, or did you watch any of the games? I'm sure in the Cayman Islands, they're probably not super connected with that.
Well, it's all on. You could definitely see it, but you're kind of out of the rhythm. But I did catch that the end of Duke's game, which was pretty intense.
Oh, man, that was a heartbreaker. Everyone was rooting against Duke. You could feel the hatred.
Yep.
And just the storyline of it. That was, you know, probably when you were in school, that was when they won the title with those guys. Johnny Dawkins and Tommy Amaker, who's the coach at Harvard now.
It was Hurley and Leitner.
Well, these guys were even before that. Johnny Dawkins, so he's the coach at this Central Florida, which most people haven't even heard of, and his son was like a great player, but chose to go play for his dad instead of going to Duke or a place like that. And so then the big difference is they have a 7'7" guy
right
on the team.
Right.
And so as much of a freak as Zion Williamson is, the 7'7" guy is even more. So it's like these two weird matchups. You know, it's like a boxing match where it's like, okay, is there this huge giant guy? Is he better off winning? Or do you have Mike Tyson, who's this tiny guy that's just going to, like, chop you down like a tree? So it was like a super interesting. And then once it got to, wow, this is really going to be a close game, and all these other people are playing well, too. And, everybody was on the edge of their seats.
Yeah, you just had the momentum. You really felt like Duke is rattled, and they may not pull it off. So then you start pulling for the underdog, and then they just, last second, just blew it.
Well, they blew a couple layups to let Duke back in it, and then they, you know, Duke got a nice call and scored, and then even then, they get the last shot, and the guy gets this great little short bank shot that kind of rolls in and out, and then another guy had a chance to tip it in, and that went in and out of a layup. And it was like, man, that's just luck right there.
Yeah.
And the huge 7'7" guy had just fouled out, so in a normal circumstance, he would be there to tip that shot in. And also, he would have been there to get the rebound, because that was the other thing that happened, is the guy missed the foul shot, and Duke got the rebound and put it back in. And you don't do that if it's 7'7" guys sitting in front of you. So you watch that in a bar or something?
It all sounds exciting. No, you had it on the TV. You know, they have, you know, they cater to white people there. Well, that's it, buddy. I've got to. I have to go and moisturize because I'm so tan. It's like I need to peel and molt a little bit before I go see the people in Boise. They're just going to be angry with how how dark and healthy I look.
You won't believe it. I blend right in here in Canada, isn't it?
Yeah, I can. I can imagine. Well, everybody, go to tompapa.com and check out the tour dates. We're coming out there. We've got Boise and Bozeman, San Francisco coming up. A lot of dates on the books, live from here in Dallas, live from here in Tennessee. So make sure you come out. Go to paulisawebsite.com. Check out all of Paul's dates. See if you can track him down in Canada before he leaves. And enjoy opening day. and enjoy your life.